times I think that no one seems to listen. There are times I think they listen but don't hear. There are times I think they hear but something's missing. The thoughts behind the words aren't clear. So I think they're saying something they're not saying.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we used to like to talk about Disney things.
Once upon a time, Joel and Megan liked Disney things. Nowadays, not so much.
So,
like is a strong word.
We just saw Beauty and the Beast 3. This time it's personal.
I don't like that movie. That would have been Gaston comes back as a zombie.
We watched, yeah, it's another mid-quill. Which, I can't remember what it's called. Belle's Magical World.
Yes.
We just watched Belle's Magical World.
Oh my god, you guys. So, like, I don't like the Christmas movie. Was it? Belle's Enchanted Christmas.
Don't look so bad now.
It doesn't look nearly so bad now. No.
That's right.
At least the song was good. That one song. I didn't like the rest of them. But that one song about Christmas and happiness and angels and crap is nice. This one is just, oh god. There's so many things wrong.
This, for those who have not seen Belle's Magical World, don't. But for those who have not seen...
Just don't. And we're Belle's really sorry if you have.
Magical World. It is, you know, for the... There's a, you know, stigma that happens with Disney sequels. And this surpasses the stigma.
Oh my god.
With such gusto. Like,
10,000%. It is, oh god, atrocious. And, like, I know that we're gonna watch some movies in the future that are gonna be really bad. But right now, I'm having a hard time picturing it worse.
Of the ones I've seen, this one is definitely fighting for the bottom. Yeah. With Hunchback 2.
I haven't seen Hunchback 2 yet.
Be warned. Yeah. Well, part of what really is bad about this movie, and actually what just, like, kind of upsets me about this movie, is that, okay, so the movie is one of the three episodes in a never-aired TV show kind of thing.
Thank God they never made a full TV show.
Which is something that happens, you know, a lot of, that's one of the standard ways they do Disney sequels, is it's, like, three episodic thing. But this was, at one point, intended to be a TV show. But this was, you know, this is very early on in the world of Disney sequels. This is, the movie came out February 17th, 1998, which is, you know, we've done these pretty much in order. So the Aladdin ones, both Aladdin's have come out, and Enchanted Christmas, and that's it so far. And this is a TV show that was clearly, there was a quality problem on the TV show. And like, yeah, we can't make this a TV show. But this is the beginning, to me at least, this is the beginning of the getting money, putting things out for the sake of getting money, not for quality things.
It's so bad.
This is something that somebody in the company saw that this was bad, and this was not going to make a good TV show.
Yeah.
But they put it out anyway.
Yeah.
They smashed it into a movie and put it out.
It's so bad.
It is really bad. So, this movie begins.
And now we shall tell you how bad it is.
In quite some detail. Because yeah, there's a lot to go through in this movie. It was a, you know, it was a fairly short movie, but it felt long. It felt so long.
Halfway through, I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
Are we done yet?
Yeah.
How many stories are there? Four? We're like one in. Are you sure?
That is a recurring problem with, of all the, like, episodic ones I've seen, where I was like, I am so done with this movie.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, by the end of the second one, I am emotionally done with this.
Yep.
This one was very much like that.
So,
it opens on a book.
Yes.
Magic book. Opens up. Get super quick Beauty and the Beast recap.
Yep.
And whereas Enchanted Christmas, like, worked really hard to be like, this is exactly where this movie takes place in the Beauty and the Beast storyline. It's like, but after the wolves, before this, like, yeah, right here, exactly. This is like, sometime in there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, our first story is called The First Word. And it starts with the Beast deciding to invite Belle for lunch.
Yeah.
And, okay, so the first thing that really what is these new characters.
Oh god, there's so many of them and they're all awful.
Well, there's this pin and stack of paper. And we have talked about, like, you know, all the things being enchanted versus things being used to be human. And
I am so concerned about this man.
This man
is a stack of paper.
It's a stack of paper that they write on and then send the paper away.
And what? Is that a limb? Is that an internal organ? Is that like an awful paper cut in the future? I don't know.
Let's pretend that it's not. That stack of paper is slowly dying.
Yes.
Eventually they will run out of paper.
Maybe, wait. Maybe he is just the one sheet of paper and the ribbon.
But did they put paper on top of the other paper? Because every time the paper comes off, then he hops back up.
He does.
And where that top paper used to be is now where his face is.
Yeah, no, they're whittling down a man. It's very disturbing.
To write letters to people who live upstairs. Belle lives upstairs.
No, that's... Well, okay, the first letter he's writing is to order wood.
Yeah, but...
From his own people. I don't know why he's ordering wood. And he, like... He's like... Somebody's suggesting to him what to write. I don't remember who. I guess the paper, maybe? Who is, for some reason, Scottish, obviously. And he says, like, you know, why do I need to be ordering this? And the paper's like, because you need it? And he's like, because I need it! I'm like, for what? Are you learning to juggle with logs? I don't understand.
I mean, I guess it's to keep warm. He needs more than Yule lungs. He kept throwing them away every time Belle found one.
Wait. So does that letter go to the randomly Jewish ex?
I don't know.
It must. There's also, he uses a pigeon.
He does use a carrier
pigeon.
Which is odd, because we find out later in this movie he hates birds.
That's
a strong plot point later in this movie.
True. Okay.
How much he hates birds.
Okay, so Belle finds a dictionary. I don't remember. There was no segue.
Not really.
It was just Belle finds a dictionary.
I mean, it's the television studio made this, so there's a lot of, like, you know, cut to commercial.
Yeah.
And then we come back and it's on Belle now.
Belle finds a dictionary, who's a person, his name is Webster. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very page mastery.
Yeah.
He looks like those books.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Okay. And then they go to lunch and there's a chandelier lady.
Yes.
Who can't hear to save her life. I assume because as a chandelier she has no ears.
She has no ears. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, there you go.
I wrote that down, like, I don't know about how many of a sudden, and then I wrote down, I will find my own humor in this movie.
Yep, go.
There's nothing funny happening in this movie.
So, the chandelier is, yeah, and that is so weird. Why is the chandelier even there? It doesn't even make sense.
I could kind of see, like, oh, if this was a TV show, like, here's, you know, introducing new characters kind of thing. And
so,
here's this one character that would recur in episodes.
They're trying to have lunch. And it's not working very well. And Belle's trying to tell the Beast about this book that she's reading. And she's describing Cinderella. And I'm very curious as to when Cinderella became a full-length book.
I don't know.
Is she reading Ella Enchanted instead?
I'm very curious as to why nobody else knows. Like, she's talking about Cinderella like she just found Cinderella.
Well, there's always been rumors that that the book she was reading in the beginning was... In the beginning of actual Beauty and the Beast, the one that
yes.
she beats, is Sleeping Beauty.
I assumed that one was Sleeping Beauty as a kid.
So, I guess she just finds these novel-length adaptations of Disney stories, basically.
But she's read that one twice.
She has
because I'm assuming she's read just about everything in that shop.
Yeah.
I would assume that shop had Cinderella. Some version of Cinderella.
I don't know. It's dumb. Anyway, so she's been reading Cinderella, and she's telling him about it. And it's not going well. I don't know why. Because the Beast is grumpy. He, like, invited her to lunch and is now grumpy that she's at lunch? I don't understand.
He's warm for some reason.
He's
like,
really hot. That's
yeah.
right. That was weird. It also made him seem like he was having, like, hot flashes. I'm like, Beast?
No.
Are you going through menopause, Beast?
Like, the way they were setting it up, like, it was, you know, he was trying to hide, you know, a cold, you know, it was like a sitcom escapade setup yeah. where, you know, he was like trying not to appear hot in front of her, and
it was weird.
But they opened the window.
Yeah.
And this is genuinely the funniest thing that happens in this movie.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
They open the window, and it, like, blows this air in, and Belle has the weirdest look on her face.
Oh, my God, it's so
and she's like,
dumb.
Why did you open the window,
so
Beast?
Dumb. And then there's, like, this thing where chandelier is being too bright or something. I don't know. I didn't really get why that was there.
Yeah.
And the
chandelier is, like, arguing with Lumiere about, like, how much light they should have to set
yeah.
a mood. It's
yeah.
lunch, guys. It's not dinner. It's lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Animation. This
oh,
is
my God. The
big.
Animation is so bad.
It took a serious drop, fellas.
Oh, God. It's so awful.
So. It's still not the worst.
It is.
That, it's not the biggest drop in animation I've ever seen.
It is perhaps not
but.
Jasmine's face in Bucket Flower Man all of the time. But some of the time it's definitely Jasmine's face in Bucket Flower.
There are a few bizarre animation decisions.
Just
taking
strange.
Place.
I don't okay.
Largely with the Fifi later on.
Oh god.
That is the weirdest character design change.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
So anyway. They get in a fight. What do they fight about?
He opened a window.
And he did something.
He opened a window?
Like, I get, but like, does it cause, wreak havoc or something?
It blows, like, some pages around or something? I don't remember, yeah.
I don't remember either. I do remember that it's totally all his fault.
It is. It is totally all his fault.
Like, really, really obviously all his fault. And so they start having a fight. And then the Beast says that she should apologize to him. It's like, Belle, you should apologize to me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. What? That doesn't even make any sense. Even in the illogical ridiculousness that is this movie. Okay. And then
they storm off in their separate ways.
Yes. And then the people in the castle are getting fed up with them fighting. So,
Well, they go and they talk to each other. They talk to the Beast
yeah.
and they talk to Belle. And then, you know, Belle has calmed down. She goes, well, I guess I should have apologized. And
I just can't even. There is so much. Okay, so, like, part of the things that bother me about Beauty and the Beast in the first place is that it's, like, a really abusive relationship. And that it's just, like, glorified anyway. And it ends up kind of okay, but not really.
It handles the risk of landing in that really well. There's a lot of, like, Stockholm jokes about the first one.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned it when we talked about the Beauty
and
the Beast podcast.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, they're there when you're, you know, haha, making fun of it. But it handles it really well.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't come across that way when it very much could. Case in point.
Oh, dear God. This whole thing is, like, abuse victim apology central. Like, the whole time, she's just... Oh, God. It makes me so uncomfortable.
This is the part right
like,
here.
Like, please don't show this to your children. They will get the wrong idea. Okay, so the paper and the quill decide to write an apology letter.
Yes.
From the Beast to Belle. And then Belle gets it, and she goes to talk to the Beast, and they're all like, "Oh, I'm sorry too." Like, yeah.
Yeah, they you know, make up. And so then Belle says she'll read Cinderella to the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
But the Beast, he's eating, like, acorns or something?
Wait, no. No. Because first, Beast gets angry that they wrote a letter.
He doesn't know they wrote a letter yet.
Oh, okay.
No,
you're right. Cinderella.
Yeah. She's reading Cinderella. He's eating some sort of, like, nut snack.
Yeah, oh my God, it's awful.
And he's making some kind of noise, and Belle is like, you gotta stop making this noise. And I'm like, do we not remember how he used to eat porridge?
Yeah.
These are amazing strides in table manners on the part of the
yeah,
Beast right
yeah.
now. So, but he puts them away, and it's, you know, very, it's like, good job, Beast. You have bettered yourself. Oh, man. This is bad. There's this whole... The Beast is not in this movie very much, which is great, because...
Every time he is in this movie, it's like a train wreck.
It is. And the Beast, just, he goes... You know, part of what was really cool about the Beast is he's this really complicated character. Like, he's, you know, genuinely tormented. It's, you know, a lot of it's self-inflicted in the first one, but, like, he's very much suffering and, like, you know, distraught with his lot in life, and it's at the end of 10 years of brooding, and so there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, very cool layers of the beast that are, like, you know, peeled back at a really interesting pace that, you know, we get to know this character in original Beauty and the Beast. This is on and off switch Beast. Yeah. Beast is either best of friends with Belle, or he is crazy angry.
Oh my god.
And so, so this is where the book and the paper and the pen get found out that
yeah.
they have written the apology letter.
And then Beast essentially tries to kill them.
Yes.
And then Belle begs for their lives. And then the Beast is like, fine, but you're kicked out of the castle, and throws them bodily into the snow. I think out of a window.
Did he throw them out of a window?
I can't remember if it's out of a window or the front door. Whatever. He throws these people out into the door. Out into the snow. And they try and head into town. And now Belle is blaming herself for this happening.
Yes. Yes, all that is completely true.
I just...
Yeah.
Who sat down with this script and was like, yes, perfect, everything is totally okay.
I just like somebody, like, typing away, never a doubt in his mind. Yep, this is what happened in Beauty and the Beast during that song.
I'm gonna beat that guy and punch him in his face because he's probably awful.
So the pen and paper and Webster all, like, they get lost, which is a good thing because imagine if they showed up in town.
Yep.
Nobody would believe Gaston about anything anymore.
And then they accidentally wander back to the castle.
Yep.
And then the Beast...
And Belle, like, lets them in.
The Beast finally apologizes. And everyone's like, yeah, good for you for apologizing. And the Beast is like, I don't know why it took me this long to apologize. I feel happy now. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? What happened here? I don't understand.
Yeah, there's really, like... heavy-handed morals in this.
And they're not, like, incorporated well at all.
They're not.
And I feel like nobody learned anything in this situation.
So they're supposed to learn how to forgive, and forgiveness is wonderful. And so, like...
Forgiveness would be great if it didn't involve only apologize after people grovel and maybe you killed some desk accessories, and also you should... probably not really mean it.
So there's also this subplot where because Lumiere has gotten in a fight with the chandelier about lighting, and so after the Beast's like, wow, I feel great. Lumiere's like, I am sad.
Yep.
It is too late for me to apologize, to forgive the chandelier. I'm like, oh, it's never too late. And he's like, well, I'll try. Like, this is not how forgiveness works.
And then Lumiere gets hit on by a chandelier, and
yes.
That's weird.
Yes. Three movies, three girls.
I just don't understand.
Candleman okay. gets around.
Okay, so now it's time for a random song.
Now it's time for the music video.
It's about listening with your heart.
That's what it's called, listen with your heart.
Yep, that's all I remember about it. That's all I wrote. That's
so,
it.
Next story.
We're done.
Yeah, this is not a musical. Like, the first two are musical. This is not a musical. This just has little, you know, music videos in between some of them.
Okay.
The next story is called Fifi's Folly.
Okay, first of all, is this supposed to be a different duster from the first one? Because the first one's name was Babette.
Was it really?
Her name is Babette.
All right, if you say so. I don't know.
I am like 90% sure. I also double-checked on Wikipedia, but, you know, it's Wikipedia, so maybe not. But I'm pretty sure her name was not Fifi, at the very least. So is this supposed to be a different feather duster? In which case, how many feather dusters do they need? And why do they all have the same accent?
Two feather dusters.
And a chandelier. And a chandelier. I don't even know how this works. Okay, so her name is Fifi now, or it's a different one. We don't know. Maybe they're like sisters. Okay.
Well, this one has apparently been dating Lumiere for 5 years.
Yes.
It is the eve of their fifth anniversary.
I thought it was like a 5 week anniversary.
Oh, really?
Didn't they make some sort of like, you've not been dating that long at all joke?
I don't know. I thought it was.
I don't know.
I thought it was. I mean, they've been in the castle for 10 years. So yep. Five of them, they're yep. dating. Whatever.
And then he asks, okay, so Belle hears Fifi talking about their anniversary, and Belle, Lumiere asks, like, wait, no, Fifi asks her if she knows what today is, and she says, it's a Saturday, and we're just like, everyone in Beauty and the Beast needs a damn calendar. Nobody knows
it's
what
not
any day
Tuesday.
Is. It's not Tuesday.
Thanks, Chip.
Mrs. Potts. So Lumiere has forgotten their anniversary, basically.
Yes. So the best part of this is, you know, he's panicking and he tries to write something. He tries to write out his feelings.
And then he sets the library on fire.
Finally, after three movies, this sentient candle sets something on fire by accident.
Okay, so he sets the library on fire, and then they get all these little teacups full of water to try and put it out, and then Belle comes in, and she picks up Mrs. Potts, and Mrs. Potts is like, "But I'm full of tea for the master. What will he say?" And I'm like,
he'll probably make her apologize.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
She'll apologize
Belle
for
says,
wasting all his tea.
Belle says something like, you know, I think you'd rather have
tea in a castle.
Yeah, than a library on fire. So she dumps Mrs. Potts in the fire and saves everybody.
Well, it's her library now, so maybe
yeah.
The beast doesn't care.
Also, this library was significantly smaller. I don't know if it's shrunk, or there's more than one library, or what.
I hope there's more than one library. Poor Belle.
I know.
She got totally bait and switched.
I don't know.
It's like, oh, this library was huge last time. It's like 9 books now.
Yep.
And it's on fire. This is when Fifi, like, peeks her head in.
Yeah.
And there is a hilarious case
of... Now, first, they're going to make a song together.
Yes.
Because he wants to give Fifi something nice, and Belle is helping him to write things. And then Fifi picks her head around the corner.
This would have been a delightful sitcom setup of hilarious misunderstandings.
But people are inanimate objects in this movie! So Fifi thinks that Lumiere is cheating on her with Belle. I'm sorry. There is no more ridiculous sentence than that one, I don't think.
Just take out the names.
There could probably be like an orca whale there.
There's a feather duster that is mad at her candlestick boyfriend for cheating on her with a human girl.
Yep.
Who is destined to fall in love with some sort of man bear pig thing.
I would just like to state that we deserve a medal for sitting through this and not just being like, nope. That's where we're done. Okay.
It came close at that moment.
So there's my key smash entrance in the log here. Okay. So they're trying to make a song, and then there's a tuba. Somebody got turned into a tuba. I don't know. There's a tuba and a really creepy accordion.
The accordion's a little messed up.
It's so creepy.
And he has a face on either side. So it's probably conjoined twins.
Oh god, this is so messed up.
And I don't know why Prince Adam had conjoined twins on his staff.
I don't know. He apparently had 5 different maids who were French, so that's weird.
Well, everybody in this movie is French.
Somebody's got a preference. I mean, technically, yeah. But it's like in Family Opera when Christine, dance mistress or whoever is the only one with a French accent, and it's like super overdone. Like, are you sure you're all in France? Because I don't believe you. I think just that woman's in France and the rest of you are in England.
So to add to, let's go, you know, to add to the feather duster is jealous of the human girl and dating the candlestick. Her solution is to flirt with the clock.
Oh man, it's so dumb. It's like the dumbest movie. I can't even. Okay, so.
Again, somebody got up every morning and typed away at this script. You're like, nope, not a doubt in my mind.
No, then it gets better. So, Mrs. Potts is having a chat with Fifi about something. I don't remember. About how to make boys jealous.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's why she decides to flirt with Cogsworth.
And Lumiere is arranging this large silver tub. It's like a punch bowl, I guess.
Yeah.
Who is a person.
Yes.
Okay. So then, he says, he's trying to bribe him into doing something for him. We don't know what it is yet. But he's trying to do so by threatening that the beast is going to downsize on his silver. The beast might be selling people.
Yep.
We're destroying people. I'm not really sure which.
I assume he just banished him from the castle. the way that he seems apt to do.
God, why? Why is this movie? Okay. And then Fifi hits on Cogsworth.
It's on Cogsworth.
But it doesn't work very well, because Cogsworth.
No. And then he has a lot of clock humor, for lack of a better word.
It's true.
He's like, he's good at his job, and the secret is timing.
Oh,
so yeah. There's a lot of that in this scene.
It's really bad.
Then we learn that apparently Lumiere has a welding feature on his candlestick arm.
Yes. Why?
How many times in the past two movies would a welding feature, a blowtorch, been really helpful to have?
Really helpful to weld people, apparently, because he's welding something to the damn punch bowl, whatever, recently threatened to kill, essentially.
This is like
a mafia movie.
No, this is like that moment in Attack of the Clones when, like, oh, by the way, R2-D2 can fly.
I forgot about that.
That's absolutely what this is. This is like, oh yeah, those three movies that we've watched, Lumiere totally can weld.
Yep.
With his hand. He has burning hands.
Yep. Okay. And then we learn that the footstool has a name.
Yes.
It's Sultan.
It is Sultan.
I don't know why.
So.
He's like a little Ottoman dog whose name is Sultan.
So Frank Weller, who is the voice of the dog, he's credited as Sultan in this one, and he is credited as Sultan in Enchanted Christmas, although they did not call him Sultan. In the first one, he is credited as Footstool. So sometime between Beauty and the Beast and Enchanted Christmas, they decided to name the Footstool, but not ever put it in the movie. Until this time, which point Belle says Sultan like 6 times to really hammer the point home that his name is Sultan now.
I just don't understand why you would name your dog that. That's a weird thing to name.
But here's the thing.
What?
Frank Weller is also, he's more famous for voicing Abu. So when you go onto his IMDb page, it's well known for, like, all the movies he's well known for being in are like Aladdin, King of Thieves, and Return of Jafar. And I'm like, and he's credited as Sultan in this movie. Does the Sultan, like, make a cameo appearance in the middle of Belle's magical world?
That would be awesome.
But that didn't happen.
Nope.
So, if you have somehow hit that train of thought that I got, like, halfway through this movie, let me just shoot that little dreamboat down right now. The Sultan does not show up in this movie.
Yeah.
The dog is Sultan.
Which is weird. That's a weird thing to name your dog. It doesn't roll off the tongue well. It seems
as
odd.
We can see by Belle having to say Sultan like 6 times.
Seriously. Punch bowl scheme?
Yes. He's using the punch bowl as a sleigh. They're going on a sleigh ride.
I'm not sure how she thinks Belle will fit in the punch bowl.
I don't know. So the movie doesn't outright say it, but it very heavily implies that they were human when this first date happened. Lumiere's trying to recreate their first date.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've only been dating for 5 years, and they've been inanimate objects for 10 years, did, like, the spell just wear off a little bit?
I don't know.
Movie.
Okay, so, Lumiere tries to go on his actual date now.
Yes.
Fifi feels dumb.
Yes. He's like, oh, it's our date, and so... At no point is she concerned about riding in this, sabotaged sleigh that she knows is sabotaged, because she sabotaged it.
Yep.
Okay. But because it's sabotaged, it breaks apart.
Yep.
Sultan, the footstool, was the horse-drawn part of it, and he breaks off, and so they're sleighing out of control.
Yep.
Which they weren't, okay, there's some serious physics being defied right now.
And of course they get stuck on the edge of a chasm, because there's a lot of chasm near the castle. It seems very dangerous.
They're, like, right next to the castle this time.
I know, right? Okay. And then they're, like, about to die, and Lumiere can finally say that he loves her.
Yes.
That would be sweet if it wasn't so dumb.
Okay. Oh my gosh, he says that she is his angel. As opposed to his actual angel.
Oh god, I didn't notice that. That's unfortunate. Yep. Anyway, so, Belle shows up, and she pulls them over the edge. There's, like, a bunch of things on the
boat. Yeah, this is, like, you know, monkeys in a barrel chain down to where Lumiere and Phoebe Babette are hanging on this, you know, branch sticking out of the rock side.
Yep, and Belle just, she clearly lifts.
Remember that moment in Mulan where Belle, like, hugs everybody and walks back? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in this one.
Except for it was Belle. Which is weird.
And that's the end of that story. There's no beast in this story.
That's good.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, but...
This next one, he's asleep the whole time.
He is asleep the whole time. This is Mrs. Potts' party. This is the fourth one that is the third in order.
God, that's such an awkward title. Like, Mrs. Potts' party. No, thank you. Okay, so Mrs. Potts is sad. They make no clear indication of exactly why.
She just has, like, seasonal depression.
I guess, yeah. So, she didn't. And Belle's like, you should cheer up. And Mrs. Potts, turns out, did not even put tea in her teapot today. And then she's, like, super embarrassed about that. Like, she's, like, not wearing pants or something. And then Belle tells her to go get some rest.
Yes.
In her room. So, I guess as opposed to the... Do they live in the cupboard? I never really thought about it.
Yeah, no, because that's where all the sleep is. Like, even she's like, into the cupboard with your brothers and sisters, Chip.
God, that's awkward.
So I guess, yeah, it's like, you know, that's where they live.
They don't have rooms anymore.
You're a teapot, I guess, you know. Yeah, this is a lot of empty rooms where all these people used to live.
Servants' quarters must be barren. Okay, so he tells her to go relax in her room, which, like, I don't know how you can relax with that friggin' chest of drawers. And
I don't know what she can do in Belle's room that she can't do anywhere else. She's a teapot. It's not like she can, like, crawl into the cupboard or something.
Okay, so they show that the beast is sleeping.
Yes.
Like, he did something? I don't remember.
He was definitely on the roof.
Okay, doing something on the roof.
I think he was fixing the roof.
And now he's tired, so he's gonna sleep this whole damn time. Okay, so they're gonna have a party for Mrs. Potts to cheer her up. And then the oven mitts are peeping. I tried to say that without laughing, it totally didn't work. The oven mitts are people! They're like a bickering couple.
They're a couple. Okay, the maybe sole redeeming moment in this movie is the fact that the muffin mitt, or the mitt, yeah, the, what are they called?
Mittens. Oven mitts?
Oven mitts. That's it. Oven mitts have a oven mitt fist fight.
They do.
Which probably means at some time, some animator had to tape himself wearing oven mitts punching at each other so he could use it for animation reference.
Oh god, I never thought about that. I want that.
So that is the sole redeeming quality of this whole movie. That made this whole movie all like, okay. Okay, that somebody had to film themselves doing that.
God, that's awful. Okay, so the oven mitts are people, and the oven is a person as well. We knew the oven was a person. His name is...
Oh, does he have a name?
Yeah, it's like Boucher. Which is, it's like a pun, it's a French pun, because bouche means mouth.
Sure.
And he refers to himself in the third person, which is weird. Okay, so, I guess he got Chef Bouche, I guess it is. Okay, so, the egg beater is also a person.
Everything is a person, Megan, it's Beauty and the Beast. Everything is a person.
What? What job could they have possibly had that the egg beater ended up a person?
The royal egg beater.
Did he hire someone just to beat eggs?
Maybe. I guess.
That's a really boring job.
I mean, how many, you know, people are in a, you know, general castle kitchen? Downtown Abbey has, you know, like 15 people working in it.
Joel, for reference, does in fact know it's pronounced Downton. He just does it to bother me. Yeah, that's true, but, like, I just...
How
much would it suck to be an egg beater, though?
No, it would suck to be an egg beater.
You can't even, like, stand upright. You'd have to lie down in a drawer all day, Joel.
And every time you run, you're just in a circle. So I hope the wolves don't chase you.
I hope so, too. So, okay. They're also trying to make songs.
Yes.
Lumiere is dumb about it, and Cogsworth comes in and is more dumb about it. And also, the oven mitts are arguing. The entire point of this is that nobody can cooperate for more than 6 seconds. It's really, really dumb.
Yeah, the moral of this one is, like, get along.
Okay.
Is the heavy-handed moral here.
So, then they try and decorate, and Cogsworth wants lilies, and
Lumiere wants roses.
So Cogsworth goes and gets some lilies, and he's bringing them in, and Mrs. Potts shows up, and he tells them that they're for the Beast. So they put them all over the Beast's room while he's passed out sleeping, which is weird.
That's a little silly.
Okay.
Okay, but here's the thing. Last movie, we had what was unquestionably the most useless song, which was the cut above the rest thing that Lumiere and Cogsworth did. It, you know, it wasn't the worst part of the movie, but it was definitely the most useless part.
Yeah.
But was somehow made more useless by the fact that the microscopic lesson of that song did not stick.
Yep.
And these people are now fighting again when they're supposed to be getting along.
Why would Cogsworth not just say that he was bringing them in for Belle?
I don't know.
I don't understand any of this entire thing.
This third one, and the whole movie alternates between off-the-wall crazy and really just very boring.
Yeah, this one's boring.
This one's just it's a really boring segment, and that makes it seem really long.
And then Lumiere brings in the roses, and they have to bring them to the Beast. And then Lumiere and Cogsworth fight some more. And then all of the papers have blown into the fire. The music score gets blown into the fire. I don't remember the context, but it does. And then Cogsworth is really grumpy, and Lumiere and Cogsworth conspire with the oven mitts to make each side of the cake bigger.
Yes.
This is so tedious and dumb. Like, explaining this alone is boring.
Yes. Skip to the end. So, it goes wrong, and Belle's like, oh, I'm ashamed of you. And so, skip to the end. Mrs. Potts finds out. Mrs. Potts is sad, and they all feel bad about that. And they do everything together, which I don't know how they ever, like, solve the differences. I don't know if they made an angel food cake or a devil's food cake.
They just remember that they're adults.
But... The stove can move!
That's the best part of the story, is that the oven shows up at the end.
They surprise Mrs. Potts in Belle's room. And like, we did a party anyway. And the stove shows up.
It's so funny. He's like hopping. Oh, it's so weird.
I really thought that stove was bolted to the wall.
Yep.
You know, Forte style. I thought he also had the tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently not. Apparently he just up and traversed the castle.
And then the weather gets better mysteriously for no reason.
Yes.
Convenient. Okay.
Oh, then we get Story the Last.
Oh, God.
This one is maybe the crown jewel.
Okay.
I don't know. I think the dating.
Oh, wait. No, there's a song first.
Oh, okay. There's a song first. About, now we get to Story the Last.
Compromise?
Do you have anything to say about the song?
I just wasn't sure what the song was about, to be honest. It rambled quite a bit. Okay. And then, okay.
The Broken Wing.
Mm-hmm. So the Beast wants to have a nice date with Belle.
Again.
And he's grumpy that Cogsworth hasn't sewn up his cape, because he needs his cape for his date, apparently.
This is the best continuity in this whole movie.
The opera.
It's like this secret side, like, mention of the cape tear. Yeah. It comes back later in this movie.
It does. I had
no faith in that happening. So, you know, well job. Well done, movie. You, like, jumped the tiniest of expectations that I had.
Okay.
At this point.
So there's a bird, and it falls through Belle's window.
Yeah.
And apparently, okay, so she brings the bird in, and the dresser is saying, the chest of drawers is saying that you can't keep it because the Beast hates birds.
That's like a serious character development for the Beast in this movie.
I just don't know why.
Birds.
There was a pigeon like two stories ago. Okay, so the Beast apparently hates birds, which is weird.
But Belle's like, she's gonna keep the bird.
She shoves it in the chest of drawers. And then
Chest of drawers is allergic to birds, too.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
And then the Beast comes in, and he's terrible, and he yells at Belle again.
But then she's gonna go to lunch anyway.
Yeah.
But she misses lunch because she's playing with the bird.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, okay, so Mrs. Potts helps give the bird a bath.
Yeah.
And Cogsworth, this is a side story in this one, is that Cogsworth is no good at being a leader.
Yes, he's losing control of his staff.
He's trying to lecture the silverware.
And, like, you know, they're jumping around and playing, and, oh, the knives are sword fighting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, if I was stuck as a knife for 10 years, that's probably all I would do, is sword fight with the other knives.
So, okay. So Mrs. Potts fixes everything, and Cogsworth is the worst boss.
Yes.
And then, Belle is late for lunch because she's taking care of the bird. And she basically stood him up because she forgot.
Yes.
Which is nice. So
that's something worth apologizing. It's the only thing she does in this movie worth apologizing for.
And she doesn't
apologize for it.
Although he got her to go to lunch by yelling at her, so I don't know if it's really worth the apology.
No, I mean.
Anyway.
You know, it's the tiniest thing.
Yes. Okay. And then the Beast finds out about the bird, and he tries to kill it.
Yes.
And then he falls down the stairs like an idiot.
And hits his head?
I guess.
Does he, like, get a concussion that makes him like birds?
I don't know.
Or did he just never hear a bird sing before?
And I don't think he'd heard one before. Okay, so he hits his head and he passes out and the bird wakes him up by singing.
Yes.
And
he's like, that's a lovely bird singing.
So he decides to keep it as a pet.
He's like, yeah, this bird will stay with me forever and
yep.
Keep it in a cage. And it will sing only for me. That was his line.
Yep. Okay.
At no point in this story do we acknowledge that Belle is still technically a prisoner.
Yeah.
And, like, when the Beast learns his lesson that sometimes things need to go free, that doesn't translate at all to, like, maybe Belle should get to go free.
No, it's very, very disturbing.
It's this very big elephant in this room that is never mentioned in this whole story.
But meanwhile, side story, Lumiere at some point implies that the butter knives are children, which is weird to me.
Because
where are all these damn children coming from, Joel? I don't understand.
I don't know. No. The thing is, like,
there are, like, 400 children in this castle. If all the silverware and all the little teacups are children, there are, like, 500 of them. And whose kids are they?
I don't know. You gotta wonder, because Chip is, like, maybe 7.
And Mrs. Potts is, like, 80.
And been a teapot for 10 years.
Yep.
So Chip came into existence around year 3.
This is so weird. Anyway.
Or he is 17, trapped in the body of a 7-year-old, trapped in the body of a teacup.
This is a little much, but at this point, I'll believe anything. So, okay. So, then, Cogsworth is even worse at being a boss, and he sets up some really terrible dictator nonsense. Okay. And then, the bird won't sing for the Beast, because it's unhappy.
And the Beast figures that out.
But then he tells Cogsworth to sing so that the bird might sing with him.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Beast tries to sing, and he gets a gold star for trying. And then Belle yells at the Beast because he's got the bird in the cage, and the Beast lets the bird go, and
there is no mention of I to him in a cage.
He managed to gain this bird's trust in, like, 6 seconds. The bird is let out of the cage and suddenly it likes the Beast, and I don't understand why, but okay. And then the bird almost plummets, and, like, tries to fly away out the window, and then the bird almost plummets, and the Beast tries to save it, but his cape is still torn.
Dun dun dun, plot point!
And then Cogsworth falls and random objects catch him.
Okay, no. So the Beast, like, leaps out onto the roof to save the bird, and it's flipping. We have seen the Beast, like, expertly trapeze across this roof for it's 3
true.
Movies.
It's true. And he clearly just got off the roof from when he was tired.
Yes, he was tired in the last one from being on the roof. So he's good at roofing. Mm-hmm. And this is the one time.
I'm sorry, I'm picturing the Beast just like a construction worker, and that's really funny because I don't know how well he would be able to fit a helmet, like a hard hat, over his horns.
The horns would probably hold it in place. So, like, it would sit in a way that would slide off of his head if he didn't have horns. Like, he could wedge it in between the horns.
That sounds awesome.
That's definitely how the Beast would
work. Fan art, quickly, someone.
That's definitely how the Beast would wear a construction helmet.
Yes,
I am sure of it. Yeah, then the object, catch Cogsworth, and he apologizes for being a terrible boss.
Yep.
And that's the end.
And then nobody learned anything from any of this.
It goes back into the book, like, they freeze frame into, like, you know, a story pose, and it goes, which is, I guess, why Mrs. Potts probably was stuck in the middle and not at the end, because this one animated back into the book, mm-hmm. going, so, you know, at least that really
arbitrary weird thing that has something of an explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Guys. This was so bad.
The thing is,
I mean, I'm pretty sure you already know that, considering you just listened to all this. And probably our recap of it was bad enough.
The thing is, like, they hit Crazy Max at the second story.
Yeah.
With the love interest thing. So, like, these last two stories are just so boring.
Yep. The only thing worth it was the sudden realization that Beast hates birds. It's so random. That was funny.
Yeah. No. You have to find your own humor in this movie.
Also, the implication that Cogsworth does all the stitching in the palace? Like, Cogsworth's job is seamstress?
I don't know.
Ugh, it's so bad. The new characters are absolutely awful. Totally useless, possibly dying slowly.
Also, I'm really curious, like, as to this pin was clearly not a human. He was a combination between a snake and a sentient parrot.
Iago and Jafar's snake staff.
Yes.
As one character. There's without Gilbert Gottfried, and not as funny.
There's no way that this was a... This is the weirdest looking pin.
Oh my god, it's so weird. This whole thing is just so weird. Like, nothing makes sense in the context of the original movie, and on top of that, nothing makes sense in the context of this weird little amalgam of things. And it just... They gave a name to the footstool for no reason. The Beast doesn't have a name, but the footstool gets one.
Will you feel better if we call the Beast Sultan?
Yes! It won't make sense, but I'll feel a little better. And, it's like, just... the songs were really dumb and forgettable, and everybody was so unlikable.
It's...
Like, none of these characters were likable to me. If I had just seen this, I'd have been like, I hate all of these people.
It's so disappointing. Just because no effort was put into the story. And that's the thing. There were serious problems in Enchanted Christmas. There's serious problems in both the Aladdin sequels. But there's very clear effort being put into all
you
of those
tried,
movies.
But this you know, one, no. This one feels like pulling things out of a hat and trying to steer them together. And it's really bad. And, like, every single one of them had, like, an alternate plot line that was totally unnecessary and did not get resolved most of the time.
Yeah, it was... Definitely, like, you know, basic, you know, TV structure is an A plot and a B plot. This is like an A plot and maybe an M plot.
Yeah.
Like, this secondary plot is so minor compared to the main plot of each segment.
And there's so much weird abuse victim behavior going on. It really,
they
like...
did such a good job sidestepping that
really,
until this point.
It really made me uncomfortable. It was just, what will the master say if his tea is gone and his library's not on fire? Like, what? So weird. And it's just so bad, you guys.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah, and now we're done. And on a down and out.
And now I never have to watch it again.
Yeah. Don't watch this movie. I don't think I've ever said that on this podcast.
You could play, like, a really funny, like, drinking game with this movie.
No, I think it would ruin drinking.
Every time a character who didn't exist previously shows up, take a drink. Every time a random song shows up, take a drink.
Well, that's two drinks.
Yes.
Three, I'll give
take
the
a
Beast
shot.
Singing.
You gotta take a shot.
I'll give Beast
every
singing
time,
a drink.
Every time you get a song. Every time somebody says something really problematic and very much a reflection of abuse victims, take a drink. Just, yeah, it'd be awesome.
No, you'd kill people.
Yeah, you'd probably
no,
die.
There have been movies before, like Dinosaur and Chicken Little, where I'm like, you don't have to watch the movie, but if you want to, that's fine. Don't watch it. An active recommendation against this movie.
I agree.
The first one on the podcast.
Yep.
So... Well done, Beauty and the Beast, Belle's Magical World. You broke new ground.
Yep.
On the Disney Magic Podcast.
It's so beautiful.
All right. Next week, we continue hating ourselves.
Why?
Because we're going to continue. We're going to do... The next movie we'll be doing is Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World. Journey to a New World? Is that the subtitle of that movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World. Which, before... We did this podcast, we looked it up, because maybe there's this shining thing that we get to get from Wiggins.
No Wiggins!
He's not in this movie!
But Billy Zane is!
Billy Zane is apparently playing John Ralph.
But no Wiggins, which is like the worst. I mean, Percy's going to be there, and I know he is because he's on the cover, but it's not worth it because Percy doesn't talk.
I am very curious. This is one of the ones I'm genuinely very curious about.
I've heard such awful things.
I have not heard almost anything about this movie.
Okay, I've heard mostly awful things.
So.
But I am curious how they're going to play this.
Yes, this is one of the ones I'm most curious about because, like, there's more source material.
This is also one of the ones that I just want to get out of the way because I know it's going to be bad, so I'm glad to be watching it early. So maybe I won't remember much about it. Like, I am hoping for Belle's Magical World.
All right, we're going to go cry.
Die a little inside.
Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. A little thought, a little care, a little when you ever need me, I'll be there. A little give, a little take, a little it's okay to make a small mistake. A little time, a little space, a little chance to help somebody find their place. It isn't much, but it means a lot. It's not a little thing to have a little thought.